The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Kel Van Schreven, co-managing director and co-founder of KR1. That's KR1 ticker, of course. Kel, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Justin. Good to be back on.
Yeah, it's exciting times for, you know, the crypto space and with what's going on around the world. And, you know, people talking about moving money in and out of crypto as a hedge, as a safe haven. So, and you've been in this space for a long time. Before we get into it, just explain what KR1 is about, if you could, Kel.
KR1's a leading digital asset investment company, and we support early stage blockchain and crypto projects. We were founded in 2016, and we've been a notable first investor in many foundational blockchain and DeFi projects that will power this new decentralized world that we're emerging into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And you've announced, you know, a number of some investments associated with Polkadot crowd loans. Why do you participate in these crowd loans then, Kel?
Well, I mean, for a number of good reasons. This is really supporting early infrastructure for the Polkadot ecosystem and the chains launching on it. So it's these early infrastructure projects are really important for it to succeed as a blockchain. And for Polkadot, this really reminds us of early Ethereum, which unlocked so much innovation and value. And it's a growing community with amazing developers. So we are... really excited to support it. And so the crowd loans are an important major milestone. And we believe that it's the start of this interconnected world and the Polkadot ecosystem is going to be a major important aspect of it.
Yeah.
The crowd loans are really allow us to engage in the projects on another level as well as staking opportunities.
Yeah, yeah. Go on, sorry.
Yeah, and these are kind of fairly low risk. So they provide great yields on the staking side, but on the crowd loans, they also provide a great opportunity for investors.
Yeah.
And there's been really high quality crowd loans that we've participated in, like Akala, Moonbeam, A-Star, Hydra. And again, these are early infrastructure in the ecosystem, so very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and talk about these projects. What is it about these the projects that drew you to investing there?
excuse me, sorry. So it's really what these projects are trying to achieve. Again, it's kind of like early Ethereum. So these are infrastructure. Some of these are automated market makers, the DeFi protocols, smart contract protocols. These are kind of very important early low-level technology infrastructure. And we tend to invest on, you know, not just, you know, what they're trying to achieve, but the team, you know, what's the quality of the team that they're involved in the project and also the traction, you know, how much they've evolved from just an idea stage. I think, you know, Hydra is a good example. It's basically solving the project of... The issue of fragmented liquidity.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to create this sort of, the meme is the ocean of liquidity. And we need that in a cross-chain world. So that means more assets can be freely traded and exchanged and swapped rather than just siloed and on each blockchain. I think it's the team and this kind of the mission they're on is really thing that excites us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can you explain your staking activity, please, Kel?
Yeah, absolutely. So staking is, I mean, we're one of the first institutions to stake a couple of years ago with our Atom. So that was kind of like an innovation. So staking is really helping to secure the network by putting the tokens at risk. But actually that risk is quite limited. You know, the returns are pretty attractive. No additional overheads for it, unlike proof of work mining, where you have to actually get the hardware. We generate some pretty interesting revenue alongside that for proof of stake blockchains, Polkadot, Cosmos, a and others to come. We are excited to do that as far as it gets us more involved in the network. And also these revenues are kind of, well, they're referred to as staking yields. No additional overhead, no additional operating expenses to the company. We've been staking for a long time now, so we're pretty confident about it, and we're looking to add more in the future.
Yeah, yeah. And explain why interchain connectivity is so important.
Yeah, exactly. So, the analogy I like to use is in the global economic system, before shipping, there was limited wealth creation amongst the countries. So that changed everything. So once these shipping lanes opened up, then people starting exporting and trading with each other, and the world's economic output and value just, exploded from that point. So like England was quite siloed, France was quite siloed. But once they started trading with each other, then, this created additional wealth. So that's really what's going to happen with these chains that are currently just having their own internal economies. And once they mesh together, these are going to just grow them exponentially. So that's why these interchain worlds are needed. If you've got assets on one chain and you want to, sell it to someone who's on another chain, or you want to trade with another chain, then you just can't do that right now. But, so it's kind of like everyone knows the technology is part of the answer to the current problems that we have, but they're kind of a little bit siloed at the moment, and this multi-chain world is just going to explode economic activity.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The metaverse there, because it's catching a lot of attention. How do projects like these interact with the emergence of that space?
Yeah, the metaverse is basically like once something's got a name, people draw attention to it.
Yeah.
So the metaverse, it reminds me a bit like the information superhighway in the mid 90s of the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
Where there's this big promise of this kind of way that information will be used, and so I think that's kind of I think it's basically been a rush by the corporates, the big tech companies, to get involved in the internet where they missed crypto.
Mm-hmm.
But, the whole point of crypto is that it's a decentralized framework. And the metaverse, really, crypto will enable the communities in the metaverse to be incentivized. They'll get tokens for doing things in the metaverse. That's how crypto will basically be kind of mesh into it. But the kind of problem at the moment is that corporates are wanting to create their own siloed worlds in it. And that's not how, ultimately, that's not going to create a kind of healthy ecosystem. And, the metaverse is just a kind of more enriched, immersive online experience with, these kind of different types of worlds that are being invented and actually have been around for a very long time. Second Life has been around for many, 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 many years. So it's an old idea. It's being rebooted. Crypto is going to play a very key role in it. But, we'll see. Hopefully open source software can get more established in it rather than just having a Facebook metaverse, which is just like a more immersive Facebook.
Mm.
And, I think that's not really the exciting opportunity for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's more how decentralized communities can have more of a sort of a kind of more interesting experience in there, and maybe more economic opportunities will come out of that we just can't have in this current kind of online world.
Yeah.
Everything's going from online to on-chain. How the on-chain goes into this sort of more immersive world will be, again, incentivization of people in these communities with a token. So it's only going to expand crypto, but how this kind of metaverse really unfolds, really no one knows. It's kind of all in play at the moment. Let's just hope the big tech companies don't just try and own it all. That would be a kind of a lost opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And explain, where does Web 3.0 go from here then?
Well, Web 3.0 solves the failings of Web 2, which became kind of centralized. It wasn't really about we all gave up our freedom and privacy for free services. I think we lost a lot from that. So, you know, Web3 is about decentralizing, you know, these kind of aspects of our lives, that, and finance is the start of it. Mm. So privacy, communication is all part of the next wave of that. We've invested in a couple of projects around privacy. So, you know, Web3 is about reclaiming the kind of user reclaiming their rights, and they're moving away from this rent-seeking middlemen, and, you know, evolving into a whole new, really exciting enterprises that we haven't even seen yet. Yeah. So, you know, it's going to be very exciting how Web3 kind of rolls out into, I mean, you know, most people won't know they're interacting with Web3. They'll just be interacting with apps and websites. And, mm-hmm. But all this is on chain, you know, as well as online, it's all on chain underneath the hood. So that's the big, you know, for the listeners out there, that's the big shift is, you know, yes, it's all going to be online, but under the hood, it's all on chain. And that's Web3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, understood.
And it's all tokenized with incentives around tokens, and tokens will go in the middle of that.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. Carl, good to chat to you. As always, if you could, give us three quick reasons why someone should hit that follow button on your page on Vox and add KR1 to their watch list, please.
Yeah, well, our investment record over the last few years is pretty compelling. Investors can see the results we've had. We get to invest in incredible projects and opportunities that are not accessible to normal investors, and we generate strong, really strong cash flows from staking now. So we're not just not just pure investment. And yeah, this asset class is the future, and we're really at the front line of it all.
Excellent stuff, Cal. Good to chat to you, and hopefully we catch up in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.